this time of year in ministry, the topic of childlikeness, being childlike. And Jesus spoke about this so clearly in Luke chapter 18, verse 3. I love the perspective on life that we get from kids, don't you? There's a little boy who was overheard praying, "Dear God, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a really good time." Child was crying going home from church, and rather inconsolably, his father repeatedly urging, "What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" Finally, the child replied, "The preacher said he wants us brought up in a good Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." And there was a Sunday school teacher who asked her class on a Sunday morning, "Kids, why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" And a little girl said, "Because people are sleeping." Oh, but you're not the 8 o'clock service, so we don't have to worry about it. Finally, one little girl was really studying, trying to figure out what her Bible meant, and she finally stood up and declared, "A Christian can only have one wife. This is called monotony." So kids give a fresh perspective. It brings us to the words of Jesus on childlikeness in Matthew 18:3. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you." Now remember in Scripture, "truly I say to you," or "I tell you the truth," depending on your translation of the Bible. Whenever Jesus says this, he is saying, "This is the way it is. Let me just make things crystal clear for you." And so he begins, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." So the topic of childlikeness should be very near and dear to our hearts as believers in Christ. If you're using your notes today by way of simple introduction, understand this is not the first time Jesus has spoken about the subject of childlikeness to his disciples and a greater community of followers in the day. In Mark chapter 9, again we read in Luke chapter 9, Christ's disciples are very concerned about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And they begin with sort of a friendly discussion. It turns into a rigorous debate, and soon it's an all-out verbal fight on who's going to be greatest someday in the Lord's kingdom. And Jesus responds by sharing a completely different value system with his disciples. And he says, "Be like a child." Now, in a society and culture of that day, which absolutely touted adult heroes and use statesmen for their students as children to emulate, Jesus was upholding a child as a new standard to model. A child who is powerless, a child who is without status, a child who is completely and utterly dependent. Now, in Matthew 18, our text this morning, Christ, of course, goes even deeper with this teaching. He says, "Become like a child," or perhaps your translation reads, "become as a child," and that it's a necessity, a absolute for all who will be a part of his kingdom. Unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So this is a requirement, a necessity of coming into the kingdom of God. Now, to just sort of back up for a moment together, we immediately see in the text that conversion is a requirement in order to enter heaven. We know that word conversion in Scripture refers time and time again to a turning from our sin to Christ. So when we say we believe on Christ, when we accept the Lord into our lives, what we're doing is we're saying, "Lord, I'm floating out here in the sea of sin, and I need you to pull me out." We're not saying, "Lord, I'm floating out here in the sea of sin. Would you just throw me a life preserver so I can marinate my sin a little more effectively without completely going under?" And I think sometimes, as Western believers, we try to sort of short-circuit the conversion process with the Lord. We say, "Well, Lord, I want you to forgive me and save me, but I still like my sin. I really want to live like hell but go to heaven." And so what the Lord is telling us here is conversion means a willingness to say, Lord, I'm done with my old ways. Would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you give me your way to go in life? And then we know that the Lord helps us to do that, and he forgives us when we don't. But it's a calling out to Jesus as our Savior and as the one who is our Lord, the one we will follow in life. So conversion brings about spiritual rebirth when we simply invite the Lord into our life to forgive us and we are willing to follow him. Childlikeness now becomes the key to being new in Christ. And this is where we'll focus our attention together this morning. And I believe very much that Jesus holds up a child as a word picture or as a model, if you will, of how we are to approach God. And it's our new position in him for each and every one of us as believers in Christ. We are God's kids. Now, just as an aside, I realize that when I say we're God's kids, kids break things. Kids make mistakes. Kids sometimes stretch the truth. Kids want their own way. Kids get upset. Kids sometimes complain and pout. Kids sometimes do what they shouldn't. Sometimes kids don't do what they should. And they bring incredible joy and blessing into our lives as parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles and friends, don't they? Yeah. We wipe their noses. We clean their pants. We help them off the potty. We make them lunch. We wipe their tears. And we give them all the love we can. In Matthew chapter 19, just one chapter forward, verse 14, Jesus goes on and says, "Let the children alone. Don't hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So do you realize that God looks on those of us who believe in him as his children? His children. He doesn't look on us as adults, doesn't even look on us as his youth. He looks at us as his kids. I think we need to get comfortable with that. Because you see, I'm not only his child now because I've accepted the Lord Jesus in my life. I will be his child forever. That is my position in God, thanks to Christ. Now, so many texts in the Bible speak to us being God's children. I'll just run through a few for you from the New Testament. Galatians 4:19, my little children. Ephesians 5:8, walk as children of light. Romans 9:26, children of the living God. 1 John 2:1, my little children. 1 John 2:28, and now little children. 1 John 3:18, my little children. Once again, we need to understand this position we hold in the Lord, that we're God's children. Now, keep in mind that God speaks very clearly in his word of us growing up in Christ. And maybe right now you're saying, time out, Mark. What about the fact that we're to spiritually grow up in the Lord? Yeah, we're going to get to that right now. And Scripture affirms the importance of growing up in all aspects into the Lord Jesus. But I would argue we never cease being God's child. We never graduate from that role. In other words, by way of point this morning, we are to possess and then retain, in other words, to grasp and hold on to for all we're worth, a childlikeness in the Lord Jesus. So, let's differentiate what perhaps God is speaking of in his word. I believe very much that God does not call us to be childish in life, not childish. In Ephesians 4:15, we are to grow up in all aspects into him. So there's that command to grow up spiritually in the Lord. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation. Many more modern translations will say, or paraphrases will say, grow up in regards to salvation. 1 Corinthians 13:11, the Apostle Paul wrote, "When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things." Childish things. So this is the differentiation that God is giving here, that we are not in the Lord to be childish. We are to grow up. We are to mature in the Lord. We are to become strong and rooted in Jesus Christ in our faith. We are to learn to be full of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the ways of God. And not being childish means that as we grow spiritually, we won't question God or our faith or God's goodness and love or provision for us every time something difficult comes along. We suddenly won't say, "Oh, well, I guess there isn't really God. Oh, I guess God doesn't love me. Oh, I guess God doesn't have all the power after all." You see, that's childish in the Lord. And we grow up spiritually to become mature in the Lord. We can say, "God has me. God's teaching me. God's helping me. He's going to be with me. He's going to bring me through." And we grow up in the Lord. That's not being childish. In other words, if God calls us to something we don't like, we don't say, "No, I'm not going to do it, God." We say, "Okay, Lord, how much you want me to do it, when and how long and how high should I jump?" We grow up in the Lord. We're not to be childish in Him. But Scripture says we are to be childlike. And I think there are some wonderful attributes which Scripture reveals to us, which are essential to following the Lord as a child, as His child. And they rank very highly in the kingdom of God. It brings us to our takeout verse of the week. It's on a little card in the lobby. You can take it with you. There are also some at Connecting Place on the counter in the lobby. If you don't see one, just go up to the folks at the counter in the lobby. They'll be sure you get one. Romans 8:16, it says this, "The Spirit Himself," now that's capital S for Spirit, so in other words, the Holy Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit within us confirms in our spirit, gives us a confidence and assurance that we are God's children. Isn't that great? Notice there, not that we began as God's children, not that we started as God's children. We are God's children. And my friend in the Lord, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus in your life, you're God's child. You've been adopted into His royal family through the bloodline of His Son Jesus, who died on the cross to pay for your sins. And you're in, adopted, grafted in. And as you're brought into the kingdom of God, a loving Father doesn't turn His back on you. He doesn't abandon you. When you struggle, when you fall short, God loves you. He cares for you. A loving parent doesn't always agree with every decision their child makes, but they always love them. They always want what's best for them. They always root for them. They're always for their child's success. And so our Heavenly Father is for every one of us who have accepted His Son Jesus. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be imitators of God as dearly loved children." And I love Ephesians 5:1 there because it's saying, be like your dad. Be like your dad. So we're His kids. And the book of Romans speaks so clearly about us being adopted into God's family through Christ. Now in the book of Luke chapter 18, verse 17, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it at all." Suddenly, being childlike is a great priority, isn't it? It's very important. So what's Jesus really driving at when He says we are to be childlike? Not childish in life, thank God for that. None of us need adult children. But how can we be childlike the way the Lord commands us and calls us to be? He certainly isn't intonating that we should remain immature or go around throwing spiritual tantrums or always wanting our own way or running around in spiritual diapers through life. I think, though, there are at least six great qualities of spiritual childlikeness that we see repeated time and time again in the Scriptures. And I thought we'd go over those sort of to celebrate Vacation Bible School, celebrate the kids that are going to be on the campus here coming up for 4 nights. And the first is perhaps the most obvious. It always begins with this. Kids are small. Kids are small. within the content of the disciples discussing who would be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, what did Jesus say to them? He said, be small. And that was the main thrust of his illustration to them. Now, we're not talking about our outward stature. I think we're all just the size God designed for us to be. He's talking about inside. He's talking about the real you and me. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. It's funny. We tend to think it's our job in life to pump ourselves up and make ourselves bigger than the rest. Jesus says just the opposite. He says, I want you to get down, to humble yourself before me and before others, to be a servant, to not try to be the master, to be the one who is loving, not the one who is dominant, and I will be the one who will lift you up. Being small in the kingdom of God, as Jesus touted the role of a child in his kingdom, is to be humble. It's to be vulnerable. It's to be willing to be weak. It's been said, quote, true disciples are little ones who believe in Jesus and are out to make Christ great alone. See, if I want to make myself big in life, I'm suddenly taking the spotlight off of my Lord Jesus. But if I'll make myself small, the glory and the attention can go to my Lord and Master. We need to be empty of ourselves so we can get full of God. And this is the principle of being small. We need to be empty of self so we can be full of God. There have been times in my life, how about you, when I have sensed that God has been turning me over and dumping me out. And it's not easy, but it's for a good reason. It's so he can fill me more with him. With his Holy Spirit in my life. Because you see, if there's too much of me in there, my ego, my pride, my vanity, my aren't I something, there's not enough room for the Lord in my life. And if you're willing to be dumped out and be small, God will use you and he'll be pleased. James 4:6 says, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Remember that pride was the sin that led to Satan's fall. He just got too full of himself. And pride's a very insidious thing. It ruins us. We need to remember everything good about us, everything in our abilities, everything in our position in life, everything in our appearance, everything in our success. It's all because of God. He's the one who's done it for us. So why are we taking the credit? Why are we touting ourselves? We need to remember to accept our smallness before a giant God. And every time I think I've got pretty big pants, all I have to do is go outside at night, look up at the heavens, and say, my God is so huge, he made all that in a day. In a day. He simply spoke and it was. Children are small. Second, children are trusting, and this is another great quality. We know that the very foundation or the basis of our relationship with God is trust. That's what faith is. Faith put into action is trusting God. A child has an amazing capacity to trust. And in a fallen, sinful world, what's one of the things we try to teach our kids to do? Don't trust anybody. Don't trust anybody. It's because it's a sinful world. With God, you can always trust him. And you need to always trust him. Because there is no wrong in his reality. He is completely pure and holy. So are we ready to take God's word seriously and really trust our Lord? To believe that what he says is true? Can we base our life on just depending on him? That's what childlike faith is. It's saying, God, whatever you say, wherever you lead, however you show me, that's what we're doing. And Jesus says that is a commodity which is essential in the kingdom of God. Trust in him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, picture with me learning to ride a bike if you're a kid. So when I was a kid learning to ride a bike, you got those training wheels. And you sort of teeter just a little bit while you got the training wheels on. It's real easy to want to look behind you while you're riding your bike to make sure the training wheels are still there. Because, you know, after all, how do you know they didn't just fall off? I learned something quickly. You just got to trust they're still there. Because if you look back to see if the training wheels are there, you're going to hit something. You're going to lose your balance. You're going to swing your head around and whoop, go over. Same way when you get the training wheels off and maybe older brother, sister, a friend, a neighbor, your mom or dad, somebody grabs hold of the back of your seat and they steady you and they're hanging on. And what do they say? Trust me, I've got you. You're not going to fall over. You just look forward and start pedaling. God says to us in life, look forward, trust me, and start pedaling. If you are waiting, believer, for God to give you absolute, complete, unequivocal assurance, you will never face any challenges in life if you follow Him. You'll never get anywhere. It's time to look forward with the Lord, get on your bike, and start pedaling. And then don't worry about God's part. Don't start looking back. Don't check if He's still hanging onto the seat. He knows what He's doing. That's how you learn to ride a bike. And it's how you learn to walk with God and to ride forward in life with Him. Trust. You must trust Him. It's a great quality of childlikeness. Next, and here's a beauty. We've got kids are small. They're trusting. How about this? They're teachable. They're teachable. If you've ever met a kid who wasn't teachable, you want to do one of two things. One, get them away from you. Or second, get them straightened out. Isn't it true? In Matthew 11:29, Jesus affirmed, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus is saying, let me teach you the way you should go. Take my instruction upon you. It'll go well for you. It'll be worth it. See, the life in Christ requires learning. Continual learning. Notice in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is continually teaching His boys a new spiritual principle. All the time. Sometimes I think, Lord, really, another one? And you know what I've had to come to realize? I'm going to be His child all through life and for all eternity. There's more He needs to teach me. You never arrive with the Lord. You need to always be teachable. Teachable people are learning people. And children ask why. Why? Why? I think some of the ways we learn in the Lord, one way is through observation. We watch, we witness, we look, and the Lord shows us and reveals things to us. How many things do we miss being instructed by the Lord because we're not watching what He's trying to teach us? And then there's through inquiry. In other words, being curious in the ways of God, being inquisitive in the things of God, reading His Word, praying in the Spirit, seeking His way and saying, God, what do you want me to learn from this passage, from another believer, from what you're trying to instruct me in? And then, of course, there's through experience. Teachable believers live their faith. And so sometimes I think maybe God even extends an experience in our life because we're not being teachable. We haven't learned what He wanted to instruct us yet. And so if you're struggling in a situation, my first advice is right away say, Lord, what do you want to teach me in this? What do you want me to learn from this? I'm ready to start learning now. Let's get down to it and see what God wants to instruct you in. Children who are healthy, children who are in a right position in life are teachable. In other words, they are correctable and instructable. My friend, if God's calling you in your spiritual level of maturity to disciple others in the faith, you know so well what I know. You can't get far at all with any believer who is not teachable. It's just like throwing out stuff at them and it reflects right back. And Jesus, of course, teaches us in His Word, don't waste your time. If someone's not teachable, move to someone who is. It's so important. It is the most foundational principle of being a discipler. You always pray for and look for individuals you can invest your spiritual life in who are teachable, or you're wasting your time and effort. Teachable individuals don't have all the answers. They understand that they're not in charge, God is. And it will require individuals to be small, humble, and full of faith in their God in order to be willing to be instructed or teachable. So be a learner. Be a learner. And never act like you know it all. It'll stifle your life in ministry if you think you're a spiritual know-it-all. Have you ever met someone who can just give you the verse for every situation you face in life? Now, that's not bad. It's good to know your scripture. But understand that sometimes we want to turn our faith sort of into just a set of procedures rather than maintaining a living, abiding relationship in learning from the Lord. Then next, we see that children are reliant. They're dependent on someone more powerful with more at their disposal above them. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We lean on our Lord to succeed in our spiritual life. So children are dependent. They are needy. They need help all the time. And I would say to you today, remember, believer, you were never created by God to go through life on earth on your own. You were never made to be independent of Him. You were always created to have Him with you, helping you in life. So we're to live in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. So there's this emptiness that you and I feel when we are not reliant on the Lord in our lives, when we're not daily leaning on Him. And His presence just seems a little more far off when we're trying to be independent. Okay, God, I got this. I'll pull my pants up. I can go out there and do it for you. Instead of just leaning on Him and saying, Lord, I need you today. I need you this hour. I need you next hour. I need you in this appointment. I need you in this next situation. And you'll feel an emptiness apart from leaning on Him every moment in life. And then you'll tend to try to fill that spiritual emptiness with other people, other relationships, other experiences, other things. And I think God wants you to have a rich and a full life, but understand none of those things will satisfy you because you are made to be reliant on your God. And for lack of a better word for it, children have a quality that's just remarkable, and it's to be reliant on others. They just, through their life, they admit it. I need help. Mom, Dad, I need a cheese sandwich. Mom, Dad, when are you going to take me to the store? Mom, Dad, where's the clean clothes? And I think we have to realize our Heavenly Father is there for us, and we should be leaning on Him. Then, how about this quality of being childlike? Kids are fresh. Kids are fresh. And this is what we get worried about when the kids are on the video games too long. You just kind of get sucked in, and you go, man, where's your life? You know, shake out of it, man. Because we love that freshness in kids. Matthew 9:17, Jesus said, nor do men put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins and both are preserved. Now, I think out of all the statements of Jesus, this one perplexes me the most. And I've unpacked it throughout my adult life, and I continue to glean from this statement of the Lord. It is such a powerful illustration of our new life and success in abiding in Jesus Christ. It is deep, it is moving, and it is challenging, the parable of the wineskins. But you see, the fact remains. Jesus says in the wineskin parable, I am giving you spiritual birth, a new life. And you see, when God gives us a new life in Christ, He's calling us not to be improved, not to try harder, not to be a different version from what we... He calls us to be utterly new, utterly fresh. Have you ever gone on vacation? You go visit another church around the country, around the world somewhere, and you just meet a believer, and when you meet them, you just know that they know the same Jesus you do. I'm going to guarantee you what helps you realize that is they're fresh. They're fresh in the Lord. It's like you meet Him and you feel a fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit coming through their life, and you just know they know Jesus the way you do. If you feel like day-old bread in the Lord, go home, talk with the Lord. Say, Lord, what is it? How did I ever get dull for you? How did I ever get old for you? Why aren't I a child for you the way you made me to be? Freshen me up for you, Lord. I want to be fresh. You know, there's a woman who was a naturalist, and she was driving up the coast of Florida on vacation, true story, with her husband and her five-year-old son. And as they were driving up the coast, she saw a beach sign that said Naturist Camp. And she just kind of assumed, well, naturist, that must be the same as naturalist, because they liked organic food and lots of vegetables. And so, true story, they pulled on off the sign, went to the beach, and got their five-year-old son out, started walking on the beach, and all of a sudden some people rode by on bicycles, and they were nude. And that's when they realized they were on a naked beach. And of course, they were sort of horrified. They'd brought their son to the situation. He, of course, immediately pointed at the people riding by on the bikes, and he says, "Look, Mom and Dad, they're not wearing safety helmets." And he meant it, you know, he's concerned about them. True story. Children are fresh. They just have a way about them, a different angle, a fresh outlook. And I really believe this is one of the qualities we want to focus on as believers in the Lord. You don't want to be a stale believer. A stale believer doesn't attract anyone to Jesus. Someone says, "Really? That's what you are? I don't think I want to be that." Isn't it great whenever you talk to a child, when you spend time with one? A child's outlook is fresh, it's insightful, it's hopeful, it's positive, it's enthusiastic, it is unjaded. Now, there are many things in the world we as adults must wrestle with, realities we must accept and realize in a broken, fallen, sinful world. I am not trying to suggest that we be naive. I'm not trying to say we live in a spiritual la-la land. But what I'm saying is, when the Lord has called you and saved you and assured you of heaven, there should be a sweet freshness in your spirit about it. How could there not be? If there's not, something's wrong. Finally, I want to say in closing, I believe another childlike quality God longs for in us as believers is that we would be tender. We would be tender. Proverbs 29:1 says, "He who hardens his heart after much reproof will suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy." When we come to faith in Christ, it's because the Lord has tenderized our spiritual eyes to see, our spiritual heart to receive. And we say, "Oh Lord, I didn't realize how much you love me and that it was true, that Jesus died for me," and we accept the Lord in our life. So now we're to hang on to that tender spirit. It's interesting throughout the scriptures that the Lord repeatedly rebukes his people whenever they have a hardness of heart. And it's because it's a serious thing. There's nothing worse than a tough steak. Now, hamburger, I don't really evaluate it that much. Just put more ketchup on it, you're fine. But if I order a steak or I'm making one at home on the barbecue, I sort of expect it to be tender. My friend, be tender. Be tender. Some of us need a little tenderizing spiritually in life. Now, I'm not going to look at anybody in particular because right now I don't want anyone to think I'm talking to them. Not. Sometimes I need tenderizing too. Sometimes I sort of need a little Lowry's season salt sprinkled all over me. You know, sometimes in the ministry you go, "Ah, here we go again. I cannot believe this. What are they doing?" And you just get a little tough. And then the Lord speaks in your spirit and says, "Wait a minute. I love you. You need to be sweet and tender as well." The point today is this. It's time to be God's children. It's our position not only now, but for all eternity in the Lord. He's a loving Heavenly Father. He cares for us and has a wonderful plan for us long before we ever realize it. So, why not adopt the life of God's child? Rest in your Father's arms. Live in His presence. Follow His lead. Learn of His ways. It's not that complicated, but it's going to require everything you've got and that I've got to do it. Live humbly before Him. Trust Him. Learn of Him, lean on Him, live in a new and revived manner, and keep a tender spirit no matter what the world brings your way. Let's be God's kids. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, today we want to thank You that You love us so much You gave Your own Son to die for us. that you felt you wouldn't be complete without us, and you longed for our company. And so you bought us back. You redeemed us. And through the blood of your own Son, Jesus, you made the way that we could be forgiven and assured of heaven. And we come not as superiors, we come as your children. And Lord, help us to come rightly before you, humbly, not spoiled, not thinking we know it all, not doing our own thing, but coming into an alignment with you, trusting and depending on you. For there's just no one like you, Father. You're so loving and good. Thank you for the good you have planned for our lives. Thank you for the blessings you're doing. And Lord, today we pray for each one suffering. We pray for each one struggling. We pray for each one who's lonely. We pray for each one who's in lack. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Would you provide for each of them, we pray. And would you encourage their spirits and lift them up? For you are a loving Father, and we're so thankful for you. Now, if you're hearing my voice and you're not sure you've ever invited Jesus in your life, you can do it right now. I'll just lead you in a prayer. You can talk to the Lord directly and settle it with him. He loves you. He's waiting to come in your life. And you know, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And if you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he rose from the dead to assure you of heaven, you can invite Jesus to come in and forgive you right now. It's a free gift of God's forgiveness and salvation. So if you're ready to give your life to him, do it now. And say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe you're God's only Son, that you died for my sins on the cross, and that you rose from the dead so I can live with you forever in heaven. Thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of everything and come into my life right now. I'm willing to give up my old ways to live for you." And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Would you stand? We'll close. If you'd like prayer, some members of our prayer team are going to come up in the front at the end of service. They'd love to pray with you, hang around, meet somebody new. And thanks for praying for VBS coming up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. Now may God bless you. May he keep you. May God make his face shine on you. May God be generous to you and give you his peace. And may you find great joy in a Father who loves you and who cares for you all along the way. Amen.